So this is lecture number two in the biochemistry unit entitled Organic Chemistry, the Chemistry of Carbon. Biodiversity refers to the diversity of life on Earth, which originated around 3.8 billion years ago with some original prokaryote, and then evolved into nearly 2 million different species that have so far been identified on Earth. Now, since all living things are based on the element carbon, we can think of carbon diversity. This is my own idea, copyright Mr. Hammock, okay? As the diversity of carbon compounds, which have proliferated since the original carbon compound first existed on Earth over 4 billion years ago. Now, the chemistry of carbon is called organic chemistry because it derives its name from the word organism, since the chemistry of all living organisms is based on carbon. And there are literally millions of different carbon compounds found in living organisms that are based on carbon, obviously. So making sense of all these compounds and their chemistry can be a rather daunting task. And what we're going to do in this short lecture is we're going to learn some of the basics of carbon chemistry or organic chemistry, just enough so you can be successful in the course. When you get to college, you're going to be required to take a whole year of organic chemistry if you choose to be a biology major. Okay, the key to carbon chemistry is the basic chemistry of carbon, which is that carbon has four valence electrons. And because of that, it can form four bonds. We all remember this, right? In fact, it can form four single bonds, as shown here, but it can also form double or triple bonds as well. But the key thing to remember is that it always forms four bonds, no more, no less, and you can always count them. So the two reasons for carbon compound diversity, number one is the diversity of carbon chains. And carbon can form chains, and these are sometimes called carbon skeletons. And they can do it in a variety of ways. You can form straight chains, which are single bonded. They can form straight chains, which have double bonds. They can form branched chains. They can form ring structures. There's a variety of ways that they can bond to one another. You can also have a diversity of functional groups. The part of the carbon compound that's really responsible for the chemical reaction, you know, that goes on is the functional group. And there are six important functional groups that I expect you to know. The hydroxyl group, the carbonyl group, the carboxyl group, the amino group, the sulfhydryl group, and the phosphate group. And these are the groups that you will be tested on tomorrow when you walk into class. So let's just do a quick little overview of the different kinds of chains. So you can form these long chains, as you see here. They can be as long as 20 to 30 carbons bonded together. They can be arranged in straight chains, as you see here, single bonded, or they can have double bonds, as you see here. Double bonds are not uncommon to see in carbon compounds. I want you to note, though, that even though they have double bonds, if you look at every carbon in this illustration, they all still have four bonds. Carbon chains can branch. They don't always have to be in straight lines, as you see here. But I want you to note, each carbon still only has four bonds. Carbons can even form rings. Carbon chains can form rings. And so you can see that here. But what I want you to note is that these rings can have single bonds or they can have double bonds. But in all cases, if you count the number of bonds, each carbon has only four bonds. So never get confused by that. They can take all these different forms, but they only have four bonds. Now let's look at the functional groups. Why are they important? Well, they're generally found at the end of the carbon chain, and therefore they are responsible for the way the carbon compounds react chemically with other compounds. And since really chemistry is all about reactions, the functional groups in a large measure determine the chemical nature of the carbon-based compounds. So, like I said, we need to be familiar with six different functional groups. Let's begin with the hydroxyl group. The hydroxyl group is an OH group which replaces what would have otherwise been a hydrogen. This is a group that makes what are called alcohols. And if you look here, in every one of my slides, I try to keep everything the same. On the left, I'll name the functional group, then I'll show the formula, then I'll give you the name of the compound, and then I'll give you an example. And it's a really good way to learn these. So this is a hydroxyl group. OH is what's added. They're called alcohols. And there's an example on the far right, and that's ethanol, which is probably one of the most common alcohols. That's the alcohol that's actually found in alcohol that people drink. Beer, wine, hard liquor, that's the alcohol. And notice that it's got two carbons, hydrogens all the way around, and an OH group at the end. The carbonyl group is the next group, and this is a carbon atom joined to an oxygen atom by a double bond. And you can see that they actually come in two flavors. If the double bonded oxygen is at the end of the molecule, we call it an aldehyde. And if it's somewhere in the middle of the molecule, we call it a ketone. Let's make sure we can pronounce all these. Can everyone say carbonyl? Aldehyde. Ketone. Great. And once again, you can see on the far right, propanol and acetone, and they're your two different, your aldehyde and your ketone. Now this, don't get confused, this is a carboxyl group. It looks very similar, the name, to carbonyl, and actually it might even look kind of like it when you look at it, but it's different. The carboxyl group has an oxygen atom bonded to a carbon atom, okay, and in fact it's double bonded in this case, and it's also bonded to a hydroxyl group. And the carboxyl group is what makes the compound acidic. So we often call these substances carboxylic acids, or in some cases, organic acids. So let's pronounce all these. Carboxyl group. Carboxylic acid. Organic acid. Yeah. Now, why are they acidic? Well, it turns out, if you remember from your chemistry, oxygen is very electronegative, and therefore it loves electrons more than carbon or hydrogen. And therefore, the oxygen will pull the electrons away from the hydrogen, causing the hydrogen to dissociate or fall away from the compound. This increase in H plus ions makes the solution acidic. This is basic acid-base chemistry that you learned last year, the year that you took chemistry. And you can kind of see it right there. A very famous carboxylic acid, the most simple one, is acetic acid. It's the acid that's found in vinegar. And so there you see it right there. amino group. The amino group consists of a nitrogen atom bonded to two hydrogen atoms and to the carbon skeleton. And so these compounds, or compounds with this functional group, are called amines. And let me see. Is it important? Well, the answer is you bet, because this functional group is where the amino part of the amino acid molecule comes from. And I want to make a note to you that when you're looking at the amino group, if the amino group is non-ionized, the nitrogen is bonded to three things. It's got two hydrogens, and then it's bonded to a carbon. If it's ionized, it'll actually be bonded to the carbon. It'll be a plus charge, and then it will have three hydrogens bonded to it. So realize you can see it in either form. And on the right here, you'll see the simplest amino acid, and you can see the amine group, or the amino group, off to the right there. The sulfhydryl group is a group where a sulfur atom is bonded to an atom of hydrogen. And it actually looks identical to a hydroxyl group, except instead of having an oxygen hydrogen, you have a sulfur hydrogen. That's the only difference. And the compounds with this group are called thiols. Okay? So let's say sulfhydryl group. Thiols. And there you go. And they can be important in some examples of protein structure because they form very, very strong covalent bonds internally within the protein. And we'll see that when we get to proteins. Finally, the last group is a phosphate group. And a phosphate group is a phosphate atom surrounded by four oxygen atoms. And one of the four oxygen atoms connects to the functional group to a carbon atom in the carbon chain, as you can see here. Also, the thing that you need to know about a phosphate group is that it has a negative charge. It is an anion. And let's go back just a second there. And so, as you can see here in this particular illustration, you've got a phosphate. And the thing I want you to note in a phosphate group is the phosphate has four oxygens. It's not three, it's four. And the oxygen is actually what attaches to the carbon, not the phosphate atom. And that can sometimes confuse students. And you can look over on the right-hand side and you'll actually see you got your phosphate atom surrounded by four oxygens. And one of those oxygens is bonded to the carbon chain. And so we've discussed now the six functional groups, and they are really what are responsible for the chemistry that we're going to be looking at over the next week or so. I mean, actually, we'll be seeing it throughout the year, but in a real concentrated form over the next week and a half. Okay, so know those for tomorrow's quiz.